Ah, you're here. Good.
A ghost couldn't dig a grave, make John strangle me to death.
Lights out, everybody.
Welcome to the Old Time Radio Cast, where we take the most terrifying tales from the golden age of radio, clean them up, and remaster them for your listening pleasure, truly preserving the very best era of audio entertainment with stories of suspense, mystery, and horror. Live radio plays kept our cherished actors busy with work, creeping American families out every single week. However, when these folks needed a summer break or vacation, networks would call in replacement shows for the absent airtime. This week, I'll be sharing the summer replacement series, Mystery in the Air, with the unforgettable Peter Lorre. This is a very special show. There are only a handful of episodes that have survived to this day. We'll be hearing The Horla, followed by the classic tale of The Lodger. Enjoy.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre. Presented by Camel Cigarettes.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are two kinds of stories. Those you can take to bed with you and they relax you and put your mind at ease. And then there's the other kind. In our story tonight, it's the other kind. I still do not know whether it was the shadow of the madness to which the author himself so tragically succumbed, or whether there really was an evil something that could not be seen or described. Oh, why don't you decide for yourself? I'm simply going to tell you the facts in a case as set forth by Guy de Maupassant in his immortal story, The Horla.
Each week at this hour, Peter Lorre brings us the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, The Horla by de Maupassant.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre, brought to you by Camel Cigarettes.
I spent all the morning lying in the grass in front of my house, the house in which I was born and grew up. Oh, it's a wonderful house, and I love it. From my windows, I can see our great river, the Seine, which flows along the side of my garden, yes. The great, wide Seine, which goes to Rouen and Le Havre, and is covered by boats passing to and fro. Yes, down to the left lies Rouen, and a whole city dominated by the spire of the cathedral and full of bells which sound through the air on fine days, even as far as my home. Oh, what a wonderful morning. I was almost sorry when Marie, she's my housemaid, you know, when she interrupted me.
Your luncheon is ready, monsieur.
Oh, thank you, Marie, but... You know, it seems a pity to go in a house. Say, do you like it here, Marie?
Oh, yes, sir. I like it very much.
Yeah.
I love to watch the boats go by on the Seine.
Well, you do, huh? So do I. See that one? That big schooner, and it's being pulled by... Look, what a little tug. Oh, look, it's no bigger than a fly.
Isn't it beautiful? They're clean and white and shiny.
All white, yes, and she's a three-master, you know. Brazilian, I think, yes. Yes, I can see the flag. It is Brazilian. Oh, she's had a long journey from South America to pass my house.
You love this place very much, don't you, monsieur?
Yes, Marie, I love it. I can feel those deep roots which attach a man to the soil on which his ancestors were born and died, and to the villages, yes, to the atmosphere itself. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you, Marie?
No, sir.
No.
But I do know that if you don't come into the house soon, your luncheon will be cold.
All right, Marie, I'll come in. Some reason I've had a slight feverish attack the last few days, and I feel low-spirited and ill. I have continually a horrible feeling of impending danger, an apprehension of some coming misfortune or of approaching death. I've never experienced anything like this before. If it continues, I think I'll have to see my doctor.
Look, I've told you, your pulse is rapid and your eyes are slightly dilated. Otherwise, you're in splendid condition.
But, doctor, then why is it when evening comes on, a feeling of oppression seizes me, just as if night concealed something horrible? Why is that?
Probably just a slight attack of indigestion.
Yes, indigestion. Yesterday, when I was walking in a forest of Rouen, why did it suddenly seem to me that I was being followed and that someone was walking at my heels close, quite close to me? He was near enough to touch me, and yet when I turned around, I saw nothing. Nothing behind me but the path between the tall trees. Horribly empty. Can you explain that by indigestion, can you, huh?
Well, here's a bromide. Hmm. If you'll take it and several cold showers daily, I'm sure your fears will vanish.
Yes, I'm sure.
And you'll be able to sleep without any further trouble.
All right, doctor. Thank you very much. Who is there?
It's I, Marie.
Just a moment. Yes?
Are you all right?
What
You're
is it,
screaming
Marie?
And calling out.
I'm sorry,
Wake the servants.
I must have been here having a nightmare, Marie. Look,
How
if you dreamed that someone was looking at you and touching you and taking your neck in his hands and squeezing with all his might in order to strangle you, don't you think you would cry out too, huh? Oh.
Yes, sir, I'm sure
well,
I should.
You see, all right. Just tell the other servants I shall try to be more quiet.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Good night.
Hey, look. Look, Marie. My water carafe.
A water carafe, monsieur?
Yes, it was full. I know it was full when I went to bed.
Yes, sir, I filled it last night.
Yes, and now it's empty. I haven't touched it, and it's empty.
Yes, sir.
Somebody has drunk the water. Somebody has... Has been in his room. Something drank that water.
I don't know who could have, sir, unless perhaps you yourself in your sleep.
Yes, I myself in my sleep, of course. That's it. I must have done it myself. Marie, tell him to pack my things. I'm going to Paris. I'm leaving the first thing in the morning.
July 12th. Paris.
Paris, I must have lost my head during the last few weeks. At home, my mental state bordered on madness, for I had believed... Yes, I had believed that an invisible being lived beneath my roof. How stupid, how perfectly ridiculous it all seems now, yes. 24 hours in Paris have completely restored my equilibrium, and tonight I'm going to dine at the house of my cousin, Madame Sablé, and, oh, Dr. Parent is going to be there. He's the famous specialist for nervous disorders, and I shall ask him, and I'm sure he can finally put my mind at rest about this silly hallucination. Dr. Pound, I've been wanting to ask you, have you ever known of a case where a person feels that he is, how shall I put it, not entirely in command of his soul?
It is curious that you should ask me that.
Why is it curious?
Because now, only now in 1889, yes? After all these years, we are on the verge of discovering one of the most important secrets of nature.
What is that?
Ever since man has thought, he has felt himself close to a mystery which has been impenetrable to his gross and imperfect senses.
Yes. Whatever are you talking about, Dr. Parent?
Apparitions, my dear Madame Sablé. Invisible spirits.
Oh, you doctors. You're always being mysterious.
Oh, not at all. For more than a century now, men seem to have had a presentiment of something new. Yes. Mesmer and some others have put us on an unexpected track, and we have arrived at really surprising results.
Oh, you're just trying to frighten us.
Not at all. If you think so, would you like me to try to send you to sleep, madame?
It would be a novel experience. If you can do it.
And if I can, it will answer your cousin's question.
Yes, it certainly would.
Now, madame, if you would just sit in this easy chair. So, now, you must let your mind go completely blank and look fixedly into my eyes. Yes, that's right. Now, you are going to sleep. To sleep. You're going to sleep. 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 You see, her eyes are becoming heavy. Her mouth is twitching.
That's incredible.
Sleep. You have nothing but
Doctor,
sleep.
Doctor, I don't like this.
Mind.
It frightens me.
Sleep. Sleep. Here, now she is asleep. An easy subject, I must say.
Somebody.
Now, if you will stand directly behind her chair, I will proceed with the experiment. Now, I hand her an ordinary pasteboard visiting card. So. Now, Madame Sablé, you hold in your hand a looking glass.
Yes. I am holding a looking glass.
What do you see in it?
I see my cousin standing behind my chair.
Doctor,
what is he doing?
He is twisting his ear.
But, Doctor, she cannot see me behind her by looking at a piece of cardboard.
No, of course she can't. She sees you through her mind. Or someone's mind. This troubles you, doesn't it?
Yes, it troubles me.
But it answers your question.
No. No, it does not. That's common knowledge, Doctor. It's an axiom that human beings can be dominated by human beings. But what if a human being is dominated by something? By something else, I mean. Something not human. What then, Doctor? August 6th. I'm back at home. Yes, now I know it's useless to struggle. Useless. Somebody possesses my soul and dominates it. Somebody orders all my acts, all my thoughts. I'm nothing except his slave and a terrified spectator of all I do. Yes, but who is he, this invisible being that rules me, this unknowable spirit, this rover of a supernatural race, he must have a name. I know he has. I feel it. I can feel it. And, oh, someday it will come to me. Oh, if I only could leave my house and go away and escape and never return. But it's impossible. This being I cannot call by name, he will not let me. I am helpless. What can I do? What can I do?
Back to de Maupassant's terrifying story of a man obsessed by the idea that he is dominated by an invisible being. Fear is ruining his life. The suspicion that he is no longer master of his own actions, even of his own soul, is rapidly becoming a certainty.
It's only 2 o'clock, and the whole night is before me. Oh, how still it is, and the stars. How bright they are. Who inhabits those faraway regions, and what do they know that we do not know? Will not one of them someday appear on our earth to conquer it? We are so weak, so defenseless. And what was that? I heard the rustle of paper. Yet there's no wind. Absolutely no wind. There. It's that book, yes. The one on the table under the lamp. It's incredible. The page has turned. The page lifted itself up and fell down upon the others as if a finger had turned it over. My armchair appears empty, but no, it isn't. No, he's there. I know he is, sitting in my place. He's reading. I can't stand it any longer. I'll grasp him and... ran away. He ran away before I could reach him. He ran away and the window closed after him. He's afraid of me. He's afraid of me. What do you call yourself, you evil slave? Whatever it is, someday I'll catch you and crush you.
Here, come in here.
What?
We heard the noise and we wondered. Another nightmare, monsieur.
No, it's not a nightmare. I was awake. Tell me, Marie. Do you believe in invisible things?
Invisible?
Yes, invisible beings that dominate you.
Well, I read an article about that in the paper today.
What did it say?
That somewhere in Brazil, I think, people are frightened, leaving their houses, saying they're pursued by invisible beings which feed on their life while they're asleep.
Yeah.
Like vampires, you know?
Marie, that is where he came from.
Oh, monsieur.
Don't you remember the day we saw that little tug pulling that big Brazilian schooner up the river?
Yes.
Remember, she looked so white, all white, and he was on board. Yes, he came from there where his race originated, and he saw me, and he saw my white house, and he sprang from the ship. Now I understand. Don't you? Don't you?
No, monsieur, I don't.
No, you couldn't. It's all right, Marie, go to bed. There's nothing wrong. Don't worry anymore. Go back to sleep. Go. Yes, now I know. How can I help but knowing? It's obvious. Yes, the rule of man is over, and he has come. He has arrived. But what is his name? What do you call yourself? What's that? I know it. He's shouting it out. Yes, I listen. Huh? Hola. That's it, yes. The horror. Yes, the horror. He haunts me. He is within me. He's becoming my soul. I shall kill him.
There, monsieur.
What?
The iron shutters on the windows and door complete.
All right.
Know why anybody wants half-inch iron shutters in their bedroom is more than I can see. Well, at least it'll keep everything out.
I don't want to keep things out. I want to keep something in.
Hmm?
Never mind. If you're finished, you take your tools and go. My housekeeper will pay you.
Yes, monsieur. Good day, monsieur.
Good day. Now I'm ready. Yes, tonight he'll come. But tonight I'm ready for him. I'm ready for him.
He's here, yes. I feel it. At last, he's here, but... Oh, I don't want to alarm him. I'll casually close the iron shutter so casually as if I'm preparing for bed. And now I'll start to close the iron doors as if I'm shutting myself in for the night. But instead of shutting myself in, I'll shut myself out!
Yes! Yes, it's Downey! He's inside! He cannot escape! Downstairs, downstairs, yes, as fast as I can run! Oh, good, good, the lamp is still burning! Oh,
yes, fire. Fire, that'll dispose of him. Fire. Oh, see, the house is dry as tinder. Won't take long. See, the flames are reaching the ceiling already. Oh, I'd better get out before I burn myself up, too.
Here, yes, here, I can watch from here.
How slow the house is burning.
Don't you suppose?
No, there, yes. A tongue of flame licking out on the top of the window. And another, and another. See it burn? My house, my beautiful house. Oh, but it's more beautiful. It's now in flames because he's inside it. And he'll burn too, yes, and I'll be free. Free. Free of the horror.
Fire! 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 The house is on fire! Yes. Get some water, somebody!
Yes, it's burning. Let it burn. Oh, now the whole place is in flames. Nothing can stop it.
That's Marie, the servants in the garret. They'll be killed. Stand back, all of you. The roof's going to cave in.
Look.
Oh, the poor devils, we've got to get some help. Yes. Maybe we can get them out of there.
It's lighting up the whole countryside. A monstrous, beautiful funeral pyre. And he's burning, too. My prisoner, that new being, that new master, the horror. The roof has fallen in. The roof has fallen in.
Over. That is the end for him. He's dead. Yes, but is he dead? No. A spirit would never fear premature destruction. Only we fear it. All our human terror springs from that, and well, then after man. What? The horror, yes. After us, who can die any day by any accident, comes he who can die only at his own proper hour, because he has touched the limits of his existence. No, he is not dead. What can I do? What can I do? Oh, there's one thing I can do. I can destroy myself. Yes.
Yes. I must destroy myself. I'm going to destroy. Destroy myself. Destroy. Yes. Let me go. Yes. I know I'm Peter Lorre. I know it's a story. I know it's by the Maupassant. Yes. I know it's Thursday night and we are on the air, but...
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry I got so excited, but I warned you at the beginning. It's a very uncomfortable story.
week, Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you Beyond Good and Evil by Ben Hecht, with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron. Listen again next week at this same time when the makers of Camel Cigarettes present Mr. Peter Lorre in Mystery in the Air. Next week's play will be Beyond Good and Evil by Ben Hecht. The artists supporting Mr. Lorre tonight were Henry Morgan as the voice of Mystery, Peggy Weber as Marie, Loreen Tuttle as Madame Sablé, Ken Christie as the Doctor, Ben Wright as Dr. Parent, Howard Culver and Jack Edwards Jr. This is Michael Roy in Hollywood wishing you a pleasant good night for Camel.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre, presented by Camel Cigarettes.
All right, men. I guess that's all. Put him on the stretcher and take him to the morgue.
Oh, must I stay, Inspector?
For a while, Mrs. Bunting.
Oh, dear.
I need all the details for my report.
Oh, that such a thing could have happened here. Here in my own house.
Each week at this hour, Peter Lorre brings us the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, The Lodger by Mrs. Belloc Lowndes. Peter Lorre is the lodger, and Ellen Bunting is played by Miss Agnes Moorhead. Mystery in the Air, brought to you by Camel Cigarettes.
Mrs. Bunting, you said you were looking for a lodger?
Yes, Inspector, we had to. But I never dreamed such a thing could happen here to us. Why, it was only last Tuesday night my husband and I were sitting before our fire reading the newspaper about the latest murder. It was the fifth by the Avenger. Yes, I remember saying distinctly, Robert, this Avenger person, you know, he could be the fellow standing next to you, or maybe the man you bump into. It's a terrible thought.
Yes, but it appears to me that the Avenger's too quick for the police.
And look here, it says this girl he got last night was like all the others, pretty blonde, and she'd just come from a music hall, exactly like all the rest of his victims. Oh, what a pity.
Ellen, have you stopped to think who fits that description perfectly? Our own Daisy.
Oh, shush. What a pretty thought, Bunting. It's a good thing she's with her aunt instead of here. London isn't a safe place for any girl now.
Just the same, I can't help thinking how fine it would be to have her here with
us. Well, there's no sense even talking about it. We just can't afford it.
Oh, I know that, Ellen, but I hope we could manage it some way.
How? Haven't I scrimped myself half crazy trying to keep us going?
I know, Ellen. Well, don't you go worrying about it. I think we can...
Who do you suppose that could be?
Could it be someone looking for a room?
Oh, I wish it were. Then you could have your Daisy back. Well, I went to the front door. And when I opened it, there stood a man wearing a black cape and hat. He carried but a single piece of luggage. Good evening, sir.
I saw your sign. It says you have a room to rent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please, won't you come in?
Thank you.
Could I take your cape, sir?
No. I'm looking for a quiet room. But it should be very quiet.
Oh, we have that, sir. Just that. Above all, our house is quiet.
Good.
Your bag, sir. May I take it?
No, just show me the room, please.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. It's right up these stairs, sir. This way. You see, sir, there's just my husband and me here, and we're ever so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'll find this room to your liking. Well, here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I like this room.
Yes, it is pleasant, isn't it? There's not many rooms with such pretty pictures, now is there?
I don't know. Pretty pictures interest me very little. What I like about this room is... It's the simplicity. I like the bareness. Yes, I think I'll take it. What is your name?
Mrs. Bunting, sir.
All right, Mrs. Bunting, I'll take the room.
Oh, yes, sir. And please let me help you with your luggage.
No, don't you touch it.
Oh, but I only wished it to
help. I know. You only wish to help, Mrs. Bunting. Forgive me. It's just that I'm weary. I'm very tired. See, I do a lot of studying.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, sir. Of course.
Well, anyway, you can see how few things I need. It's just what's in this bag. But this here is my favorite book. It's the Bible. Good book, Mrs. Bunting, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed it is, sir.
Yes, it says, he brings them to their desired haven. Beautiful words, huh? And now at last I found my haven of rest. Now, Mrs. Bunting, if I pay you 30 shillings a week for this room, that's satisfactory?
Why, yes, sir, yes, sir, that'll be quite all right.
My name is Sleuth.
Mr. Sleuth?
Yes, Sleuth. S-L-E-U-T-H. Think of a hound, Mrs. Bunting, and you'll never forget my name. And here... Here are your 30 shillings.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Would you be wishing anything now? Supper, tea, or...
No, nothing. Good night, Miss Bunting.
Yes, good night, sir.
Please stop that. You hear?
What did I do?
You were humming. That's music.
Oh, but I...
Music is an instrument of sin.
Oh, yes, sir.
And you did tell me, Mrs. Bunting, that your house would be absolutely quiet.
Oh, but it is, sir. I didn't mean any harm. Believe me, sir.
I believe you. I'm sorry I spoke sharply. I know you. You're trying to be considerate and kind.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
By the way, Mrs. Bunting, I think I would like some bread and some tea.
Oh, certainly, sir. I'll have it in an instant.
So he took the room, eh, Ellen?
Yes.
He took the room at 30 shillings a week.
Yes, in advance. Oh, hurry now, Bunting. Is the water for the tea hot yet?
Yes, what a stroke.
Put the bread and the butter on the tray. I'll pour the water.
You know, Ellen, it's wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Do you realize what this means? We can have Daisy back with
us
now.
Yes, I know. Hurry with it, Bunting.
Why, we can have her back with us tomorrow.
Now, there's the water and the tea, and I guess... Yes, it's all ready. Open the door, Bunting. I'll take it up to him right away.
There you go, old girl. First thing in the morning, I'm going to fetch Daisy and bring her home. Oh, it's a wonderful night, Ellen. Wonderful.
Oh, I mustn't do that.
And she has cast down many wounded from her. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Come in.
And to know how the wickedness of folly...
Oh, why, Mr. Sleuth, you...
Yes? What is it?
Those pictures, those pretty girls, you've turned all their faces
to
the wall.
Yes, I've turned them to the wall because they are wicked and sinful.
Oh, but, sir,
Don't you agree, Mrs. Bunting, that everything wicked and sinful should be purged from the earth? Huh?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, I do.
I'm happy to hear that, Mrs. Bunting. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to leave.
Oh, but, sir, here's your tray.
Good night, Mrs. Bunting.
You know, for a moment, I was stiff with fear. I set the tray down. He hadn't so much as noticed the light supper I'd prepared for him and rushed to the window to watch. He came out of our cottage and moved off down the street, his black cape swirling about him. Finally, he was lost in the fog, and I don't know why, but I stared after him for a long, long while. Well, I did the dishes and got ready for bed. I lay there thinking, and it was almost dawn before I had convinced myself that at most he was a trifle odd. And after all, paying 30 shillings, maybe he had a right to his strange ways. It was daylight when I was suddenly awakened by the newsboys shouting in the street.
Horrible murder! Read all about
murder it! Murder at King's Cross last night! Avenger strikes again!
Slowly I realized what the newsboys were shouting.
Horrible murder! Avenger took 6 victims!
Oh, no!
Avenger at work again! Another girl falls victim to a knife! Avenger strikes again!
Inspector takes notes of the terrifying event. Alan Bunting continues the story.
And now, Mrs. Bunting, what did you do the morning you learned the Avenger had murdered his 6th victim?
Well, I was a little frightened to meet our lodger, yet I kept my thoughts to myself. After all, you know, there still wasn't much to go on. Robert had gone to Lake Daisy, so Mr. Sleuth ate breakfast alone. I watched him through the crack in the door. Finally, I went in with more tea.
No, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Bunting. I don't care for any more tea, thanks. You're very kind. But I have to go on with my work now, if you'll excuse me.
My fear really changed to pity then. Oh, he seemed so helpless and tired. And he was so considerate. This man couldn't be a murderer. It was all a coincidence. Besides, we just couldn't afford to lose that 30 shillings a week. Well, around 10 in the morning, he left the cottage, and I decided to go upstairs and have a look about his room. I had to find out what he carried in his one piece of luggage. It wasn't a bag. It was more like a case. Yes, a case. A case for a knife. I rushed upstairs, my heart beating wildly at the thought I'd had of the case. No, there wasn't anything in his closet. I went over to the chest of drawers against the wall. Nothing in the top one. In the next one, there was just some socks and some underclothes. The next one was empty. There was only one other place for the small, narrow case. The bottom drawer. And it was locked. I pulled and pulled at it. And then suddenly I heard the front door open downstairs. In a panic, I rushed out of the room and down the hall.
Oh, you're upstairs, Ellen. Oh, Ellen. Daisy's here.
Oh, thank heaven.
Oh, Mother, it's so good to see you. It's so good to be home. Oh. Why, whatever's the matter?
Yes, you're quite white, Ellen.
Oh, I... It's I'm all right. It's just that I
wasn't expecting you so soon.
Well, it's good to be back. The country's all right, but there's nothing like London now, is there?
Oh, no. No, no, there isn't.
Well, as long as that Avenger's about, you're going to have something to do to keep this young lady indoors, London or no London.
Oh, don't you worry. Mother will see to that.
Oh, well, Daisy, I might as well get you settled.
You see, Father? What did I tell you? She'll have a dust cloth in my hand before I have my coat.
Mr. Sleuth.
Why is my door open?
We were just leaving, sir.
Have you been in my room?
Not at all. Not at all, sir.
From now on, Mrs. Bunting, I shall keep my room locked.
But you see, sir, I was just tidying up a bit, and Mr. Bunting, he brought our daughter home. She just arrived. This is Daisy.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
She's been away for quite a while. That's why we're a bit excited, you might say.
Yes.
You were probably surprised to hear us laughing and carrying on.
Yes, yes, I must say I was, but then there are different kinds of joy, are there not, Daisy?
Yes, I'm sure there are.
Yes, there is the despicable, evil joy of the abandoned, and then there is the divine happiness of the blessed. That's a great difference. You understand that, Daisy, don't you?
Why, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Sleuth.
Good, dear. There are so few young women nowadays who do.
Why, Mr. Sleuth, you mean a girl's not to enjoy life at all? Not to have any fun?
Enjoyment and fun, my child, are a devil's breeding ground. All his implements are there. Pleasure and impropriety. The temptation of music, dancing.
Oh, that's crazy. Why, there's nothing I like better than dancing. And I'm not...
You like to dance?
She didn't know what she was saying, Mr. Sleuth. She's just a child. Daisy, you know you've never been one for dancing. You never learned how
but
to...
But I did learn, Mother. While I was away. What's so wrong about it? What's the harm in dancing?
It says she lies in wait as for a prey and increases the transgressors among men.
I don't know what you mean. I've never heard such nonsense.
Nonsense? You call it scripture nonsense?
Daisy! Daisy, go into the front room.
It's all right, Mrs. Bunting. It's all right. I'm used to that kind of talk. Good day.
Daisy.
Yes?
Daisy, listen to me.
What, Mother?
I've got to tell you about...
About what?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. I've got to go out for a while now. I'll be back. For a moment, I was about to tell her my awful suspicions, but I stopped. They were only suspicions. At the same time, I had a thought. I'd go to the coroner's inquest they were having for the Avenger's latest victim. I was hoping to hear something said that would clear my suspicions of the lodger. At least I'd give him this last chance. A lady was testifying as I took my seat. She'd seen the Avenger from her window, she said. And her description of him didn't tally with Mr. Sleuth at all. Oh, I can't tell you how relieved I was. Till it was pointed out she couldn't possibly have seen anyone that night from her window because of the fog. Then the next witness was a Mr. Cannot. I leaned forward anxiously as they swore him in and began asking questions.
You say, Mr. Tennant, you're positive that you saw this man?
Positive, sir. It was only a few moments before the murder that I saw the Avenger.
Describe him.
Well, he wore a black cape, I believe, and was very gaunt-looking, and was carrying a small handbag.
A handbag?
Yes, a small, narrow handbag, such a one as might contain a knife.
Silence in the court. Proceed, Mr. Cannot.
Well, he had a low, hesitating voice. I'd say with something of a continental accent. An educated man, I'd judge, but quite mad.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, as he emerged from the fog, he was talking aloud to himself. Oh, believe me, sir, he was reciting scriptures from the Bible.
Oh, no, it can't be! It can't be! Could there
be any doubt about it now. Mr. Sleuth, our lodger, he was the murderer. I got out of the courtroom as quickly as I could. I didn't even notice it had started to rain. I hardly remember going home, running and walking somehow, while the nightmare of fear and terror grew bigger and bigger inside me. It was 3 streets from our cottage that I saw my husband, Robert. One thought hit me clearly. I realized Daisy must be home alone with the Avenger. Bunting! Bunting!
Why, Ellen? Ellen, what is it?
Bunting, where's Daisy? Where is she? Where's Daisy?
Why, she's at home.
Oh, listen, listen, Bunting, listen. Sleuth! Sleuth is the Avenger.
What? What are you saying?
Our lodger, he's the Avenger. Daisy's alone with him right now. Hurry, hurry.
Now listen to me carefully, my child, and rejoice with me in your heart, for the moment is at hand, and you're not afraid, Daisy, are you?
No, I'm not afraid.
You're very beautiful, and you should live in the ways of righteousness. You hear me, Daisy? You want to live in the ways of righteousness, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I know you do. I know. And that is why I've been sent to purge your soul so that you will be elevated beyond all sin and evil. You like to dance, Daisy, don't you? Already 6 have gone on before you, and they are beyond all sin and evil. You are the 7th to be elevated, my child, and my work is almost done for the 7th I've promised at this appointed hour. Be still, Daisy.
Daisy!
And don't listen to the temptations of the crowd when they call out your name, because I am here to save you from all evil and wickedness that consumes you like a wildfire of scarlet and crimson. You like to dance, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Look at me, my child. Look at me and don't fear me. And do not tremble. Woo to them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness. And therefore I must bring you down like the lamb to slaughter. And now I lift my hand with a flaming sword, for now comes the vengeance and the time to rejoice.
Daddy, you killer, Daisy, come here.
Drop that knife, you fiend.
Oh,
drop that knife.
Oh, you're safe.
Oh, take away that knife, you.
Take away your hand. Let go of me. Get away. Don't you know that such that are for death, to death, and such that are for the sword, to the sword, and no one dare to have pity on them.
Hey. Wait, baby!
His knife!
Oh, mercy. Oh, he fell on the knife.
Yes. And he's burning. It's burning in me like a fire. Oh, it purges me and consumes me. All sin and evil are falling away. Praise and glory. For it is I who is the 7th. Yes, the vengeance is fulfilled.
Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you one of the world's great stories of the strange and unusual, The Horror by de Maupassant. with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron. Listen again next week at this same time when the makers of Camel Cigarettes present Mr. Peter Lorre in Mystery in the Air. Next week's play will be The Horla by de Maupassant. The artists supporting Mr. Lorre tonight were Agnes Moorhead as Ellen, Henry Morgan as the voice of Mystery, Barbara Eiler as Daisy, Eric Snowden as Bunting, Raymond Lawrence as the inspector, Rolf Sedan as the witness, and Conrad Binion as the newsboy. And on behalf of Mr. Lorre and the entire cast, our sincere thanks to Agnes Moorhead for her great portrayal of Ellen Bunting.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our original storytelling podcasts and for all things suspense, horror, and weird, check out CrypticCountyPodcasts.com, where you'll find shows like Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, and Odd Trails, a true paranormal podcast. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story...
That's what ought to happen next.
It did.